Chapter 5. The Sentence. The next morning was gray and rainy. Shylock felt that it was the last day of his life. The atmosphere of the courtroom was very gloomy. The crowd hated Shylock, but nobody wanted him to be killed. When the Duke walked in, everyone became very quiet.
"Most people understand mercy," said the Duke at last. "It seems that you, Shylock, don't understand it. I am a human being. I understand mercy. And I understand the value of a human life. In the spirit of mercy, I forgive you. I will spare your life. I must punish you, though. If I don't, maybe other people will act like you. You must give half of your money to Antonio and the other half to the city of Venice."
Antonio was always a generous man. Even after all that had happened, he didn't change. He knew that Shylock's daughter Jessica was poor.
"I have a request about the money," said Antonio.
"What is your request?"
asked the Duke. The court became quiet again. The crowd leaned forward to hear.
"I want to give Shylock's money to his daughter, and I want him to put Jessica back in his will."
"I think this is a fair request. Shylock, I order you to give half of your money to Jessica, and you must write her back into your will. If you don't do this, I'll throw you in jail for the rest of your life."
Shylock felt sick. He had failed to get revenge on Antonio. He had lost his money. He hated everyone.
"Fine, I'll do what you want. Just let me go now. I am not feeling well."
Shylock was set free. He walked through the streets pulling out his hair. He couldn't believe his luck.
"Sir," said the Duke to Portia, "I have never seen such a clever lawyer in my life. I must admit that I was worried at first because you looked so young. If you're not too busy, please have dinner with me tonight. I'd love to talk about the law with you."
Portia wanted to get home before her husband.
"I would love to, but I have another case that I must work on. I'm sorry. I'm just too busy to have dinner with you tonight."
"Oh, well, another time then."
The Duke turned to Antonio.
"You should pay this lawyer well. You owe him an awful lot."
"Please," said Bassanio to Portia, "take these 3,000 ducats. That's how much we borrowed from Shylock in the first place."
"I don't want the money."
"I'll give you 3,000 more then."
"I don't want any money at all,"
said Portia.
"Instead, I want your wedding ring."
"My wedding ring? I'm sorry. This is the one thing in the world that I can't give you. I promised my wife that I would never take it off. I will find you the most expensive ring in Venice. I will buy it for you now. But I can't give you this ring. No way."
"I want your wedding ring, but I'm not going to beg. I see that you're too cheap to give it to me."
Portia left the courtroom. She seemed angry. Actually, she was happy.
"Please, Bassanio, give him the ring," said Antonio. "I know your wife will be mad, but think about what this lawyer has done for us today. I owe him my life. Don't you think that's worth your wedding ring?"
Bassanio felt ashamed. Antonio was right. He took off his ring and gave it to Graciano.
"Go and find Balthazar. Give him this ring."
When Graciano found Portia, he gave her the ring. Nerissa, who was with her, said,
"You, Graciano, you give me your ring too."
Graciano knew that he couldn't say no. He gave her his ring. When Portia and Nerissa were alone, they had a good laugh. They decided to play a trick on their husbands. Bassanio and Graciano returned to Belmont that evening. They found their wives waiting for them. They kissed their wives. For a moment, everyone was very happy to be together again.
Then, the women started yelling at them.
Where's your wedding ring?
Cried Portia.
You gave our wedding rings to other women!
Screamed Nerissa.
Please believe us, said Bassanio. We gave our rings to two young lawyers. The lawyers saved the life of my best friend. They said that they wanted our wedding rings as payment. They wouldn't accept anything else. Please understand, darling. They saved Antonio's life.
Bassanio felt sad and guilty.
I suppose that there is only one thing we can do, said Portia.
Bassanio was afraid. Graciano's knees were shaking.
We must give you your rings back.
Portia opened her hand. Nerissa opened hers as well. Bassanio and Graciano couldn't believe their eyes. They were holding their wedding rings. Portia and Nerissa started to giggle. Then they laughed harder and harder. The men stood there with confused looks on their faces. Finally, Portia began to tell their story. Bassanio was amazed. His wife was even more wonderful than he had thought. She was the cleverest woman in Italy. She saved his best friend's life. He was overcome with happiness. As if this surprise weren't enough, a messenger soon arrived with another. The man brought news that Antonio's ships had not sunk. They had safely arrived in Venice. The goods were ready for sale. They couldn't have been happier. That night, they all celebrated under the beautiful Italian moon. They laughed thinking about the rings and the trick Portia and Nerissa had played on Bassanio and Graciano. Bassanio looked lovingly at his wife.
What's the scariest thing in the world? He asked her.
Owing a pound of flesh to a moneylender?
Asked Portia.
Absolutely not. It's losing my wife's wedding ring.
Bassanio never took off his ring again.